Welcome to News in Focus with your host, Chris Long, president of the Ohio Christian Alliance. Stay tuned for an analysis and conversation about the issues that matter most to you and your family. Here now with this week's edition of News in Focus is Chris Long.
And welcome to this edition of News in Focus. We're glad that you've joined us. Tonight, we're going to continue our ongoing discussion. We've had a roundtable over the last year and a half or so on this program talking about the war on coal that the previous administration had waged against the coal industry in this country and what effect that was having on the energy policy of this country, and of course, what it was doing to the livelihoods of those who worked in coal. And of course, that was a major issue here in the state of Ohio and in the Midwest. And of course, it had an impact on the election. Well, things have changed with the new administration, with the Trump administration. He said that he was going to look after coal and saw it as a vital resource for energy policy going forward in this country. And today we're going to talk about just how much progress there's been made with the new administration, the new policies in Washington, and what impact that is having on the coal industry and the energy policy overall. With us on the program is going to be Bob Murray of Murray Energy and also Jim Martin of the 60 Plus Association and Congressman Bill Johnson of Ohio's 6th District. Gentlemen, welcome to the program.
Glad to be with you.
Thanks, Chris. Good to be with you.
Mr. Murray, let's start with you, sir. You know, this has been an interesting 6 months since the new administration started. Of course, we were delighted to see you in the Oval Office with coal miners, with the president in the early days of his administration as he was signing an executive order and legislation that would have supported, obviously, policies that would support coal as an energy resource for this country. Also, just a lot of policy from the White House as to on behalf of coal miners and the industry, but there's so many hurdles yet to overcome. And as we've seen, and what we're going to talk about this hour is that there's you know, if we're going to make America great again by making a solid energy policy, that's not going to be very easy, is it?
No, it's not. We had 8 years of the greatest destroyer that America has ever seen in Barack Obama and his supporters and bureaucrats that he appointed. And the Trump administration has been slow in replacing those people in the administration, and they've been slowed down more by the Democrat Party and the Senate as much as they can. So while Mr. Trump has done a wonderful job in terms of assuring we have a reliable electric power grid and sustaining coal mining jobs, much yet has to be done, and it is slow in getting the people in place to make those changes. I'd like to say to your listeners up front, Chris, why coal is important to them. The loads on our power plants go up and down every day. They go up and down over the seasons. There has to be some fuel there on these power plants to run those plants when the loads are heavy on the plants, so that there's electricity when people flip their light switch. There's only one way to do that, and that's a solid hydrocarbon, and that's coal. You see, you can't store sunshine at a power plant.
No.
Yet these solar panels cost 6-7 times more than coal-fired electricity. You can't store the wind at a power plant. They cost 4 times more than electricity from coal. And you can't even store natural gas. It comes in a pipe. And it's generally 2-3 times more expensive than coal. So we must have coal. We must have this solid hydrocarbon to maintain a reliable, low-cost electric power grid.
The Secretary of Energy, Rick Perry, he concurs on your thoughts in this article. And of course, we're all waiting for the energy report or the power plan to be delivered from his office. There's a reason for that delay, and we'll get into some of that. But he's quoted in saying, the main concern, Perry wrote, is that market rules and incentives for renewables are permanently shutting down baseload power plants. Losing these plants hurts the reliability of the grid because conventional generators produce a constant stream of energy. Now, this is exactly what you were just talking about, Mr. Murray, is that, you know, coal is a baseload energy on the grid and reliability, and with all the retooling around with the energy policy in this country, of course, the EPA rules that were strangling coal and giving deference with renewable mandates, basically subsidies to wind and solar, all of this has turned it upside down over the last number of years. It's going to take a little while to figure this all out. Congressman Johnson, your thoughts?
Yeah, you know, I absolutely agree with what Bob has said. There is a lot more work to be done. You know, I'm encouraged by the president and the new administration's stance on coal. I mean, you know, I was actually in the Oval Office that day, Chris, with Mr. Murray and the miners, because the legislation the president was signing was Congressional Review Act piece of legislation that I authored that turned around and turned over the stream protection rule. And when you look at what the president has done, and I know you said you're going to get into it in a little bit, with backing America off from the Clean Power Plan, that's very, very important too. But we've got a lot more work to do. And we're going to have to be all hands on deck in order to get there. I think for the first time, Mr. Murray, and you, I know you know more than this, about this than I do. I think in the month of June, I haven't seen the numbers for July yet, but I think in the month of June, coal production was up for the first time in years in the United States. Is it the end of the run? No, it's not. But it's certainly a positive indicator that there's at least a heartbeat in the coal industry, and we're going to continue to work hard to turn this around.
Well, that's exactly right. And, you know, there's so much tug of war going on. I mean, the president, as you said, Mr. Murray, is having a hard time getting his appointments confirmed, his people in place throughout all the different agencies, including the Department of Energy. The secretary is there, but Rick had to actually recruit some of his own people to continue with this study. This is a very important report. It's going to basically roll out, Congressman Johnson, what your team has been doing up on Capitol Hill, investigating the reliability of the grid and what's going to be needed to safeguard energy policy in this country going forward. So he wants to make sure that we get it right. Many people are waiting on this. I know, Mr. Murray, you are as well, because how this report goes is how it's going to set the course for energy policy going forward, and how Congress will then follow suit, and the new, even the EPA, as it's being reconfigured with new appointees there and repositioned. But at the same time, there's this tug of war within these agencies. In fact, even this report, there was a preemptive strike by wind and solar, who put out their own report in June to try to preempt when this report is delivered. So you can see a lot of politics being played out in this. Jim Martin, your thoughts.
Hey, first of all, I want to thank Bob Murray and Congressman Johnson. And yes, Congressman, coal is up, and we thank Bob Murray. But we thank that guy named Donald Trump. And I looked on with pride when you guys were in the White House that day. But let me just add this thought to what Bob Murray said a minute ago about wind and solar. And coal is on the rebound. I'm the son of a coal miner from Eastern Kentucky. I like to brag about that. And but it reminds me, you know, that coal is on the rebound. It's not dead, although Obama tried his hardest to kill this entire industry. It reminds me of what was it? Mark Twain said, "The reports of my demise have been greatly exaggerated." Well, the same here. even though Obama put billions of dollars in subsidies for the wind and solar industry, waging a war on coal to try to kill an entire industry, well, it failed. And it's because of Donald Trump, it's because of Bob Murray, it's because of Bill Johnson looking out for the industry in the halls of Congress. I like to think that Pat Boone and I had a little bit to play in that, because we were always talking about the war on coal being a war on seniors. And again, when Bob Murray talks about, you can't store wind, and there's an old saying, I guess, that if the sun doesn't shine and the wind doesn't blow, how are you going to turn on the light switch? You're going to have to do it with coal. Wind and solar are still niche industries, even though they've received massive billions of dollars from the Obama administration. They're still a niche industry. And yes, Congressman, coal is on the rise, the production of coal. I got a report from the Energy Information Administration. They track monthly production. And the single biggest rise in electric power in 2017, it wasn't renewable energy, it wasn't natural gas, it was coal. And on top of
that
was a month-to-month. But by the way, the month of August just came out yesterday, Tuesday. And let me quote just a little bit from it. U.S. coal production, this again is from the Energy Information Administration, U.S. coal production will see a sustained boost over the next 2 years due to increased use at power plants and a rise in imports. And the latest outlook showed that coal's power plant output will rise from about 30% of yearly output to nearly 32% in the second half of 2017. And again, one major statistic to look at is coal exports rose something like 60% during the first 5 months of 2017. Coal never did go away here in the United States. China is building hundreds of coal plants. So is India. Why? Because it's a reliable and efficient source of energy. I don't have to tell Mr. Murray that. Thank God he stood his ground. He even sued the media. You don't sue the media, Mr. Murray, because I'm a former newspaper man, and of course we always tell the truth as newsmen. I'm being a little facetious there. I have a degree in journalism. It's a Bachelor of Science. I'm actually ashamed of the profession I was once a part of because of the fake news that's put out by most of these outlets now. And you had the fortitude, if you will, to take on HBO, the New York Times, and now they're trying to fight back, and I wish you luck in the battle ahead.
And Mr. Murray, there is a battle ahead, obviously, and there's so many challenges that the industry is facing. There's still so many enemies of coal that are out there in the energy industry themselves, where they've been tracking one way with the previous administration, and now when there's a shift in policy in Washington, the industry really hasn't caught up with that yet, and there's a tug of war going on there with some of the energy power companies across the country. Your thoughts on that?
It's all about money. There are many, many millionaires in the United States who are making a fortune off the 30% tax credit that they get off of a windmill or a solar panel. That's 4 cents a kilowatt hour. Within the 26 cent a kilowatt hour that a windmill and a solar panel cost. When Hillary Clinton said, I'm going to put a lot of coal miners and coal companies out of business, she was not talking about the environment. She was talking about the money that she was getting into the Clinton Foundation and into her campaign from the manufacturers of windmills and solar panels who have them made in China but are making the money in the United States off of them. So we have a long way to go, and we have to eliminate these subsidies. There were 63,000 coal miners lost their jobs under Barack Obama.
Right.
The game is over, and that was the score. There are 25,000 of those coal miners in West Virginia alone. and that is the final number. Coal production before Mr. Obama was 1.2 billion tons of coal a year. It's now down to 786 million tons. It has come up recently slightly, but that is primarily in the metallurgical coal industry, not in the thermal coal or in the power plant industries. So we do have to have, though, 30% coal-fired electricity. So when the wind isn't blowing and the sun isn't shining and we can't get more gas through the plant, we've got a way to keep the lights on. That's 30% of our electricity generation. That is about 750 million tons of coal a year.
You know, Mr. Murray, and tracking this whole story, you know, for a while now with you, and my son actually works at First Energy, and he and I talk, and he's in their IT department, and he sends me articles. So we kind of keep up to speed on a lot of the nuances that are happening in the energy industry. But one of the articles that cropped up in the media that disturbed me was that the railroads are basically sidelining coal shipments, and I couldn't believe what I was reading. And so I go on and I read it, and actually, you filed a lawsuit against CSX because of delays in shipments and basically, back-railing coal shipments then so that they can't be delivered on time. I'm like, what in the world's going on here?
I'll tell you what's going on. The CSX Transportation, Inc., that railroad, has failed to deliver 277 trains that were ordered, permitted, and scheduled that our customers needed in 2015, 2016, and in 2017 to date. The situation is worse under this new CEO they have. I wrote to every director of the CSX Railroad today, this morning, and told them that they not only have a fiduciary responsibility, they're probably going to have personal legal responsibility. We can't even get the CSX Railroad people to sit in a meeting where the customer, the utility, is in the meeting, we, the shipper, are in the meeting, and they won't even join us. That is, those missed trains, those 277 trains, amounts to $162 million worth of coal that they have failed. And they are driving a lot of coal companies into financial distress, including my own, and eliminating a lot of citizens. This was all caused by the United States Congress in giving these railroads a monopoly in each region of the country. This Surface Transportation Board is totally ineffective. We've gone to them. They've done nothing.
You know, this is very disturbing.
There is no recourse here.
Yeah.
Yet the Congress created this problem that has to be addressed. And many coal companies are being driven out of business, including my own, because of a lack of management at the CSX Railroad.
Well, here's this Mr. Harrison. This is him being quoted in one of the conferences or committee meetings. He said the situation has become absolutely intolerable, must be resolved immediately. That's your quote, Mr. Murray. But he goes on and says, Harrison made waves today by telling investors that fossil fuels are dead on a quarterly earnings call. This is he said this. It's not going to be in 2 or 3 years, but it's going to be going away in my view, he said. CSX has no plans to invest in any coal infrastructure so you can mine coal, but getting it to market is going to be quite a challenge. When my folks saw this, Mr. Murray, when I posted this up, they believe in the conspiracy here. There's a real problem. Congressman Johnson, this has to be frustrating you. I mean, here you have a viable industry in Ohio and in the Midwest, and they have a product that needs to get shipped, and the rail lines are derailing them. Your thoughts, sir?
Well, it is frustrating, Chris. And, you know, I don't sit on the Transportation and Infrastructure Committee. I sit on the Energy and Commerce Committee. And I can assure you that this is a topic of conversation with Congressman Bill Schuster, the chairman of the Transportation Committee, and that group over there. But we talked a little earlier about the frustration with, coal production is up. Mr. Murray described what kind of coal that is, and the fact that it's not the thermal or the electric generating type of coal. I was encouraged to see the administration's announcement that, for example, the Ukraine that is getting beat up by the Russians has agreed to buy U.S. thermal coal to power its state-owned generation company. And we need other agreements like that, too, until we can see coal generation come back here in America. I wanted to make one comment, too, Chris, about what Jim said about wind energy earlier. I read an article just the other day, and let's assume for a second that the green energy folks win the argument. Well, they're not, but let's assume for a second that they did, and that we were going to power our energy grid with wind power. Do you know we would have to have a wind mill farm, the kind of acreage that's required to put up windmill farms would be more acreage to fuel America's energy than the entire continent of North America? I mean, it's not only practically impossible, it is geographically and scientifically impossible for wind energy to provide the bulk of our energy. And coal will always be a stable, destabilizing, reliable, sustainable energy source for grid reliability. And I'm looking forward to that DOE study coming out and seeing what they have to say. One final point. One thing that has happened, and I'm sure Mr. Murray knows about this, the Senate has finally confirmed a quorum over at the FERC. And the new members of the FERC, Mr. Chatterjee, he has already commented that FERC is also, under their authority, going to be looking at these energy markets and how they're pricing the different sources of energy, because reliability of the energy grid is vitally important. And we know that wind and solar and alternative energy forms are not going to be able to supply that reliability. So I think we got a long way to go, and there's still more work that needs to be done, obviously.
Well, and that's the storyline here is that, yes, the war on coal is over as far as the Obama administration, but there's so many hurdles to overcome. Basically, a lot of pitfalls that the previous administration had put in place and making it difficult for the industry to get back up on its feet. Mr. Murray, you're a fighter. We commend you for that, sir, and what you're doing and leading the way and getting these men and women back to work. And, this is one that's going to take a lot of attention, and obviously, for the citizens who are listening to this program, to call their congressman as well and to be watching what's happening here. Those of you that can stay with us on the other side, we're going to take a quick break and we're going to continue our conversation. We thank you for tuning in today, but again, we'll be continuing this just on the other side. We'll take a quick break. We'll be right back. Don't go away.
Looking out for seniors today. It's not the AARP. AARP worked overtime to help pass Obamacare, the legislation that cut over $700 billion from Medicare. And AARP supports the death tax, which can rob families of over half their savings due to the death of a loved one. Seniors know that AARP would rather make millions peddling insurance products than support the policies that actually help America's elderly. That's why America's seniors count on the 60 Plus Association. For more than 20 years, 60 Plus has been fighting for the seniors that AARP has left behind. 60 Plus Plus fought against Obamacare and continues to fight every day for its repeal in Washington. And 60 Plus is the leading national organization working to repeal the death tax once and for all, so that families can pass down their businesses and farms to the next generation, not the IRS. Stand up for your values. Join 60 Plus today. Visit 60plus.org or call 703-807-2070. This message paid for and authorized by the 60 Plus Association.
I'm Johnette Cruz, and I'm a busy mom. Then a friend told me about TrustBlueReview.com, a new website powered by the Christian Blue Network. She uses it to find trusted Christian-owned businesses. I checked it out, read the helpful reviews, and found a great family dentist. Now I use TrustBlueReview for all my family's needs. For peace of mind, do what I did. Visit TrustBlueReview.com or download their free mobile app from your app store today.
The trusted source for all you do, TrustBlueReview.
Will my kids like this dentist? Can I trust this mechanic? Who's a good choice for my upcoming remodel? I found businesses I can trust from TrustBlueReview.com.
This company rebuilt our deck and renovated our bathroom. I'd highly recommend them to anyone looking to hire an honest contractor.
The best dentist experience I've ever had.
It's now easy to find trusted businesses in my community that have the same Christian values as my family. It all starts at TrustBlueReview.com or download their app in the App Store today.
The trusted source for all you do. Trust Blue Review.
You know, we're back with our roundtable discussion. With us on the phone is Mr. Murray of Murray Energy, Congressman Bill Johnson of Ohio 6th District, and Jim Martin, chairman of the 60 Plus Association. And we're talking about the comeback of coal. Those of you that are regular listeners to this program have heard our roundtables in the past as we were talking about the war on coal. Well, the Trump administration says he wants to put the coal miners back to work. There's been some progress, but hurdles remain, as there are those who are determined to be obstructionist of coal making a comeback, and this is going to have an impact on your bottom line and my bottom line that will affect energy policy going forward if something isn't changed for the affirmative. And that's why we want to have this thoughtful discussion on it. Mr. Murray, I want to get back to this report again with CSX, the railways, and they're being obstructionist as far as getting your product to market and to your customers. 70% of all coal is shipped by rail, and the Association of American Railroads lists coal as the third biggest source of railroad revenue despite the industry's decline. It says here, we cannot sit idly by why CSX, this is quoting you, Mr. Murray, fails to provide agreed-to services, breaks their own charter from the federal government, and jeopardizes our company's existence. This gentleman who heads up CSX right now, Mr. Harrison, he said, unless something changes drastically in the market, we're not going to go out and to put a double track in or buy locomotives or anything for coal, Harrison said. Having said that, the last carload of coal that shipped out of this country, I want to be the carrier that shipped it. I mean, what a really arrogant statement by this individual. I can understand why you're upset, Mr. Murray.
Very much so. It is total arrogance. That board of directors of CSX hired Mr. Harrison, paid him $84 million to take the job. It was done by an investor, an equity firm in that owns stock in CSX. They're not oriented towards providing service to the customers at all. They're only interested and making money for CSX, and the government has got to come down on this very, very quickly. It is driving numerous coal companies. Other coal companies that I don't feel at liberty to mention here also complained relative to the lack of service, and you can't even get them to set in a meeting with the receiver of the coal and we as the shipper to try to work these problems out. That is how arrogant Mr. Hunter, Harrison, and the CSX management is. And it's a tragedy. We're being forced, shippers of commodities other than coal are being forced to go to trucks, which are more expensive, or other railroads. We can't. We can only ship our coal by rail. And in many cases, we don't have another alternative railroad. Most of the time, we don't, because the way the Congress divided the country up, giving a monopoly to regions of the country. And they all have very bad management throughout the CSX system. And it has been bad now for years, but now they're only delivering us one half of the trains that we have permitted and scheduled, and they have agreed to deliver one half. While he has been parking trains, locomotives, crews, laying off people, and not providing the service. This is a national tragedy, and it's supposed to be regulated by the Surface Transportation Board and the Transportation Committees of the House and the Senate. And they've done nothing.
Well, that's my question. And again, I'm a layman here, and I know, Congressman Johnson, this may not be your area of expertise, as you say you don't serve on this particular committee, but yet this has to be disturbing to you that here you have the CEO of a company, a rail company that, you know, obviously 70% of coal is shipped by rail, and this obstructionist view by this company basically... breaking their trade agreements with the coal industry by not shipping rail. It would be one thing if they were having some challenges as far as just moving the coal. But this man, it's his attitude. I mean, you can't help but see that in the quotes in this article. Your thoughts?
Well, I think Mr. Murray is approaching it the right way, and obviously well within his rights to pursue a legal remedy with a company that's not standing up to the contracts that they've signed. I'm going to confess just a little bit of, I don't think these various regions of rail structure and railroad company structures were set in the last 7 years since I came into office,
right?
Because I don't ever remember discussing any of this. So
yeah, it was done. It was done in the 1990s. Yes,
yeah,
sir.
It's a new one on me, but it is certainly one that conversation is increasing about in D.C. Like I said, you know, the state of Pennsylvania is a coal producing state as well, and Chairman Bill Schuster from the Pittsburgh area, from the eastern Pennsylvania area, actually bordering on Ohio, he's well aware of this problem. So I'm sure when we get back into session in September, there'll be more dialogue on it. But I think, you know, this is a legal issue. That regardless of how Congress set up the railway system, a company that just blatantly ignores a contract that they have to transport and ship goods and products to market, the courts ought to have an easy decision to make about that.
You know,
contract violation.
You know, just an overview of this. Anybody reading this smells a rat here. I mean, obviously, Warren Buffett, who was a supporter of the previous administration, Barack Obama's administration, he is heavily invested in the railways. So you wonder if there isn't some kind of political intrigue going on here. That's what's disconcerting, because, you know, as we want to move things forward, it doesn't seem, you know, it's funny, as the president really wants to make America great again. He wants to get America working again. And there's so many that are trying to obstruct him. It's so frustrating. Jim, you've been in Washington a long time. You've seen a lot of different administrations, a lot of people come and go. Your thoughts on this?
Well, talking about Warren Buffett, it makes the hair on the back of my neck stand up, because this guy is a rip-off artist of the First Order. Let me point out, he buys a bunch of newspapers that are in distress, and the media loves him for it. When the Koch brothers talked about buying some newspapers, the liberal media went nuts. Oh, my God, the Koch brothers are going to take over the newspaper business. On top of that, going back to this business, though, of coal, it's not dead. And the CSX guy, Mr. Harrison, he has to be in. He's obviously in cahoots with the Obama administration.
Yes.
Again, let me quote from the Christian Broadcasting News column, which I pulled up just the other day. And again, quoting from the Energy Information Administration, I think we need to send this to the CSX chief, Mr. Harrison, because the liberals and the enviros keep telling us that coal is dead. They ridicule Donald Trump, and obviously they ridicule Bob Murray. They call Donald Trump a liar. They call Mr. Murray even worse names. We won't go into that. But clearly they say, like New York Times says, coal isn't coming back. Another quote they have, saving coal is one promise that Trump won't be able to keep. You can almost hear them chortling when they say that. Even the Financial Times was even more blunt last month in a headline, coal is dead, long live the sun. Let me just point out to you another thing. The liberals like to say, well, coal isn't a major producer of jobs anymore because the industry, after all, is producing a lot more coal with fewer workers. Well, isn't that cute? The fact is, fewer workers because of better productivity and more efficiency. There's a new study just came out by the Institute for Energy Research pointing out that it takes wind and solar at least 30 times more man hours to produce a kilowatt of electricity than are required to produce that same energy from coal or oil. Let me just end on this note. Coal is back. Coal jobs are not just tied to just digging the coal. Coal is tied to steel jobs. Mr. Murray likes to point this out. There are so many other industries that depend on his coal mining, his coal miners and his industry.
Yes.
Coal is tied to steel jobs. Coal is tied to trucking jobs, manufacturing jobs. And when you use efficient energy like coal, it makes other American industries more productive. And, of course, productivity. You have higher-paying jobs. Coal is back. I keep my fingers crossed, Mr. Murray, for you and your family and for people. Thank goodness you got a great congressman there named Bill Johnson. I remember when he first ran up in Ohio. I said, this guy's going to get elected to Congress? He sure as heck did. He gets reelected because he does a heck of a job for the coal miners there in Southeast
Ohio.
Well,
thank you. Thank you, Jim. I appreciate that.
Well, that's right, Congressman. You've been very receptive, and you've been all over this. Like you said, it was your legislation that was signed in the Oval Office. You've actually gotten things done. You get to the bottom of them. If there's a problem, you work the problem. You get your staff going on it. You know, you obviously are right there in the River Valley. You know, coal is in your district. You're looking out for the constituency of your area, and we commend you for it. You've been a spokesman and a help and an aid, and that's what it takes. You know, elections mean something, folks, and if we want to see a difference, that's what you have to have. And so putting the right people in office, it just doesn't happen by accident. You've got to vet these people to make sure that they're with us on the issues. And energy is a critical issue if we're going to have an economy that rebounds and getting people back to work. That's a key part of keeping the family together as well, and that's what we're about as an organization, is making sure that families have good paying jobs, because the number one reason for divorce is not infidelity or something of this sort. It's actually over finances, and when a family doesn't have the financial wherewithal, the man working a good-paying job to bring home and provide for his family, it does create stress on the family. So that's what we're all about as an organization. And, Jim, you're always looking out for the seniors. And, of course, with the previous administration's policy on energy, it was going to drive up energy costs in this country. Hopefully, we've been able to get ahead of that with this election and with a new president, new administration. I know Rick Perry is on top of this thing there at the Department of Energy, but he's got a long way to go because he's sitting on top of a mountain of bureaucrats that have been in Washington a long time. And if you want to call it the swamp, whatever it is, it's hard to remove. These are bureaucrats. They're not appointed. They're there, and they can make life quite difficult for you. Your thoughts, Jim?
Well, the fact is that the war on seniors, the war on coal is a war on so many seniors who are on limited incomes. And let me just say one other thing. I was praising Bill Johnson a minute ago. We give pro-senior awards to House and Senate members who look out for the elderly. Bill Johnson wins our award each and every cycle. Pat Boone, as you know, Bob and Bill and Chris, is our spokesman at 60+. He goes around the country helping give out awards and cutting robocalls for so many. We did for Luther Strange down in Alabama. We've done it for Pat Toomey. We've done it for Ron Johnson. We've done it for so many people, Richard Burr and others. Thanks to those.
You've done it for Bill Johnson.
We believe in. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I said it right at the start there. We helped you out. I remember being on the bus tour when I first met you, Congressman. And you've done a marvelous job for seniors looking out for your constituents besides the bureaucratic mess that we have in Washington. But again, Pat Boone could not be on the call here. I thought he was going to get on earlier, but he's doing a lot of caregiving right now for Shirley. But Pat said to say hello to all of you folks. Mm. He is still in the fight big time. We just can't thank you folks enough for what you do helping us out. We had to convince some folks last year that we should do some calls for Donald J. Trump. A lot of folks said, oh, my heavens, he doesn't have coattails. Well, guess what? He does have coattails because he reaches out to the real folks in America, and they get the message from Donald Trump. He speaks so well to so many around the country. If you filter through the liberal media here in Washington, he goes above them. He's figured out a way to get around them, and he just drives them. Well, they hate. They're hateful themselves. The hatred in this town has gotten so immense. It's mind-boggling. But Donald Trump will prevail, and thanks to people like Bob Murray. And Mr. Murray, I'm an admirer of yours because when I said that they called Donald Trump a liar and you many, many other names, I think in that lawsuit they referred to you as a geriatric Dr. Evil. Oh. They even referred to you, and I know we're on a Christian broadcast network here, but they said, eat manure, Mr. Bob Murray, or words to that effect. You're still standing tall, and we appreciate it, sir.
That's right, Mr. Murray. I mean, you and the president have a lot in common. It's at times you're surrounded by those who oppose what you're trying to do when you're trying to do it for the good for others and for our country. And we commend you for it. Sometimes you just have to dig down a little deeper and persevere. And it's good to know that you have some people supporting you, sir. We're supporting you, your efforts, and we thank you for your determination.
Thank you very much. I want to say this to your listeners. I've been personally, privately with President Trump 3 times in the last 4 weeks. He deeply cares about working people. I don't condone his tweeting. I don't understand it. I said to him, you only hurt yourself. Some of his statements I don't understand. But somewhere in his life in building apartments, he got to know bricklayers and electricians and masons and people who were working. He deeply cares about the working people in this country. He deeply cares about my coal miners. And this coal is the key to having a standard of living for people who saved a nest egg all their lives and have a limited income. It is the key to holding down their electric rates. It is the key to creating those manufacturing jobs that the president has said throughout that he wants to create. You must have low-cost electricity for your product to compete in a global marketplace. And even you younger folks, you single moms trying to raise children on one income, you're paying out 21% of what you get in earnings for energy, gasoline, and electricity. That is why 700,000 jobs have left California, because their electric rates are 40% higher than the rest of the United States. So we do need electricity that is reliable and low cost, and that is coal. One other final comment. No one in the Congress has been more supportive of the coal industry or done more for the coal industry than Congressman Bill Johnson. I know that for a fact.
Well, and
you're kind, Bob. Thank you so much.
Well, that's right, and that's how we're going to turn the corner here. And, you know, as we look at this, in fact, the Federal Energy Regulation Regulatory Commission, they didn't even have a quorum to meet and to hold council. It's a very important element to the energy industry, my son was telling me about. And now it is fully functional, and they do have their quorum. The president put some appointees on the board. So things are beginning to happen, and it sometimes it looks very slow right now, but I think things are about to speed up. One of the problems was that, for instance, during this congressional recess, the Senate did not adjourn. There was a couple of thoughts on that, but that's not. Do you think that they might come back and actually hit the gavel in the Senate, Congressman Johnson, to give the president an ability to do some recess appointments? Your thoughts?
Well, I think that they're going to do what they need to do. Chris, I can't speak for the Senate. You know as well as I do, they live and work over there. That's one of the things that frustrates the dickens out of Mr. Murray. It frustrates me. Their rules kind of, we work at a much faster pace over in the House. Many of the bills that we send them each cycle sit there and never get addressed in the Senate because of the Senate schedule. So I would hate to even speculate on what the Senate may or may not do. Here's the one thing that I'm hoping that they do, and that we are talking to our Senate counterparts. They need to come back when they come back and continue to work to try to fix the health care issue. There's still time for them to do that. It's not too late. They need to roll up their sleeves. They need to suck it up, and they need to put their pride and politics aside and rescue the American people from the failure known as Obamacare. And they've got to work with us to do that.
Well, and it got very close with that one vote. Unfortunately, I think that, Senator McCain actually with a personal vendetta against the president. He didn't care for comments he had made about him in the past, and I think he did the theatrics on the floor. That's my personal opinion. Others believe that as well. It's unfortunate. There's no place for that when so much is at stake. And so, you know, we're encouraging our people to pray. We're encouraging our folks to pray for our president, pray for our country, pray for Congress. The Bible instructs us to do that, that we might live a quiet and peaceable life. You know, right now we're seeing a lot of turmoil in our country, but at the same time, Christians have the answers, just as Martin Luther King had the answer. Is he nonviolence and persuasion and convincing his fellow countrymen in the civil rights movement, and he made great progress, and he was a great voice for reason. We need those kinds of voices right now to be elevated. There are disputes, there are differences, there's no doubt about that within our country, but there's been an election, and the majority made a decision as to which way they wanted the country to go. And so these are policies that need to be pursued. And so we're praying for the best, but we would like to see the corner getting turned. Congressman, we're going to be praying for you and those who serve with you and over in the Senate, and hope that things get expedited this fall, because you've got tax reform to do. You've got a budget bill that's looming that needs to be, you know, Mr. Trump will have his first budget. And like you said, dealing with Obamacare. So much is on the plate, and we'll be cheering you on and encouraging, and at times, I guess, kicking a few behinds up there on Capitol Hill, because that's what it takes, and letting some people know, not you, Congressman, but some others, that they need to get it in gear and get going, because time is critical.
Well, I appreciate that, Chris, and I'm always happy that I've got a couple of good partners in Jim and Bob Murray. Bob Murray's got a big foot to do some of that kicking with, and it pays dividends. I can assure you of that.
Well, that's right. And Mr. Murray, just what can our folks do to focus on this issue, to keep it front and center, to make sure that you're getting all the support and success you need to go forward?
Well, this may surprise you to hear me say this, as I've been a Republican all my life. I'm extremely disappointed with our United States Senate. I think they're undermining President Trump in their lack of action and not getting things done. I think they're dividing the Republican Party and not getting things done. And my advice to your listeners is to get on to every U.S. senator that we have, because on both sides of the aisle, both Democrat and Republican, they're not doing the things they need to do for the good of the United States of America.
Well, that is obviously, you know, some frustration that's out there. I've talked to our constituents across the state of Ohio, and I've talked to our counterparts in other states, and that is the feeling there. You know, and I think that's why folks are engaging with their members right now during this recess when they can catch up with them. Jim, your thoughts?
Yeah, no, well said by Bob and Bill. Clearly, a lot to be done. The debt ceiling has to be looked at. Tax reform is around the corner. We're going to do a C-SPAN show in a week or two with a couple of folks to keep the focus on the estate tax that I get credit for naming it the death tax. No, it was named that long before Reagan, but clearly we've moved it from one goal line to the other. And I talked to a couple of people at the White House the other day. We want to do a C-SPAN show. I'm giving you some breaking news here on this show, Chris, because we haven't announced it publicly yet. We want to do a C-SPAN show on death tax with a couple of panels to keep it focused out front, because right now in the tax reform package with all the different rates, the estate tax gets buried on page 3 or 4.
Okay.
This is a 77% issue on our side. It clearly is an issue that resonates with the public. So why not focus on it and it alone? We're going to do that in the middle of September.
Very good. We're going to have you back, Jim, to talk about that very thing. But, gentlemen, thank you all for coming on today's program and helping us to get a handle on this very important issue. God bless you all. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. God bless you.
Thank you.
And if you've missed any of today's program, you can catch it on our website at ohioca.org. Thanks for listening. We'll catch you next time.
You have been listening to News in Focus with your host, Chris Long, president of the Ohio Christian Alliance. To learn more about the issues that matter most to you and your family, visit online at ohioca.org. That's ohioca.org. Thank you for listening. This program is sponsored by the Ohio Christian Alliance of Akron, Ohio.